For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's July the 1st, and we are in Trei Asar, in Zechariah, and we are up to Perek Zayin, chapter 7. Vayihi bishnas arba l'Daryavesh hamelech, and it was in the fourth year of Daryavesh the king. So we have now fast-forwarded 2 years. The construction of the second Beis HaMikdash began in the second year of Daryavesh, and now we're in the fourth year of Daryavesh. Hayad var Hashem el Zechariah be'arba l'chodesh ha'tishii b'chislev. And the word of Hashem came to Zechariah the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Kislev. Kislev, the ninth month, in the fourth day of the month. This is one of the sources that the Gemara quotes to show that the names of the months followed the names that we use, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, etc., which are not names that are from the Chumash, but those are the names that we use. And you see here in Zechariah, this is one of the cases. Vayishlach Beis El Shar Etzer V'regem Melech V'Amashav. So these are people's names. Shar Etzer is a person's name. Regem Melech is a person's name. Even the word Melech is there, which means king. But these are people's names. Some say that Regem Melech means the local governor. Either way, Rashi tells us these people were tzaddikim, and Va'anashav and their men, and they sent to Beis El. These people were in Bavel, and they sent to Beis El, they sent to Yerushalayim, L'chalos es pnei Hashem, to beseech Hashem. They sent messengers to beseech Hashem. And what did they beseech Hashem for? Now, we haven't yet said what the word of Hashem was to Zechariah, but it has to do with what these people were beseeching Hashem for. Lamar saying, El HaKohanim Asher Lebeis Hashem Tzvakos, for the Kohanim who were in the house of Hashem Tzvakos, meaning the Kohanim who are in the Beis HaMikdash, so regarding them, Vela Nevi'im, and also they're contacting the Nevi'im, the prophets, Lamar saying, Ha'ev ke b'chodesh ha'chamishi, should I cry in the fifth month? Now, what's the fifth month? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Should I cry in the fifth month? Hinazer, should I separate myself, meaning from the pleasures of the world, in the fifth month, Kasher Asisi Zek HaMeshonim, like I have done these past many years. Their question is, do we now keep Tisha B'Av and the 9 days the way we've been keeping them for these many years? Ever since the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, which took place on Tisha B'Av, the Jews of Bavel for 70 years had been crying in the fifth month in Tishrei, in Av. Mishenichnas Av mematin b'simcha. We know that Av is the mirror image of Adar. That when Av comes in, we reduce our happiness. And they were crying, and they also separated themselves from the pleasures of the world during the 9 days, during Tisha B'Av, during Chodesh Av. So the question is, what about now? Because the second Beis HaMikdash is being built. It wasn't yet completed, but it was nearly complete. And the question is, now what? Now they're sending this message in Kislev, which is the ninth month, which is well before, it's more than half a year before the time of, which is what their question is about. That's because it takes time for messages to travel, and they need to know, how do we how do we behave this year in Av? Do we say that because the second Beis HaMikdash is now built or being built, therefore there's no reason to cry anymore? We cried because we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, but now it's rebuilt. So should I cry? So perhaps not. Or perhaps maybe I should. Now, what would be their question? Why would they think that they should cry on Tisha B'Av after the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt? None of us have that question, meaning we all know that when the third Beis HaMikdash is built, we will no longer cry on Tisha B'Av. In fact, it will become a Yontif. So what is their question about whether they should cry in the fifth month or not? Isn't it obvious that they should not cry? However, as we already learned before, the second Beis HaMikdash lacked many things that the first Beis HaMikdash had. At least five regular miracles that took place, regular things that took place in the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash lacked. There was no Aron, there were no Luchos, there were things that were lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash that were there in the first Beis HaMikdash. So they all knew that the second Beis HaMikdash is not the end-all and be-all. They all knew that there is some redemption here, but it is not where it should be. Therefore, the question is, should they continue to be Mis'abel al Yerushalayim? Should they continue to mourn Yerushalayim or not? That is the question they're asking. Now, although here the question is specifically about Chodesh Av and about Tisha B'Av, however, as we'll see, not tonight, but we'll see Mitzvah Hashem next week, when we get to the final answer to this question, we will see that in fact they're really asking about four different fast days. Because really there are four different fast days that commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Not just Tisha B'Av, but also Asara B'Teves, and Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, and some Gedalia. Those, along with Tisha B'Av, all commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. They're really asking about all four, but Tisha B'Av being the main one, that's why it says here, should I cry in the fifth month? But we'll talk about the four fasts when we get to the Pasuk that actually mentions all four fasts, which, as I said, will not be tonight, Mitzvah Hashem, it'll be next week. It is also significant that they're asking this question in Kislev, and they are asking about Chodesh Av. This is something which is I think, foreign to us, to think about Chodesh Av in Kislev, when you're 8 months away, that's a lot of forethought. Now, part of it, as we mentioned, has to do with how long it takes to get messages from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael and back to Bavel. It takes time. So if you're going to have a question, you got to be ahead of the game. Still, 8 months is still a long time to have asked that question for way in advance. And it shows that their mind was on Tisha B'Av. In fact, the previous Tisha B'Av, which took place during the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, it seems like they did cry on Tisha B'Av. Meaning, even though the second Beis HaMikdash had started to be rebuilt, Ezra had already taken up a group to Eretz Yisrael, and they were beginning to build upon the foundation that had been laid 18 years earlier, the people in Bavel still mourned and fasted on Tisha B'Av. It seems that they were not ready to simply believe that this was definitely going to happen. After all, they had had a bad experience. They had gotten very excited 18 years earlier, and the work was stopped. Who says that wouldn't happen again? And so, they did fast, and they did cry on Tisha B'Av a year, there were 5 months before this. 4 months before this. So, then that was during the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the question here is, now that we see that the construction is really moving along and it's actually happening, in fact, if you'll recall, it was during Kislev that the construction began 2 years earlier, and it's still going 2 years later, therefore they pose the question. should we continue to observe Tisha B'Av as a fast day, as a day of mourning, or not? Now, Hashem's answer, which is the word to Zechariah, is long. It's a lengthy answer, and it develops a point. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vahidvar Hashem Tzvakos Elai Lemor, the word of Hashem Tzvakos was to me saying, Emor el kol am haaretz, say to all the people of the land, vela kohanim, and to the kohanim lemar saying, kitzamtem visafod bachamishi uvashvi'i, when you fasted and when you eulogized in the fifth month and in the seventh month. Now here, the seventh month is mentioned as well. What's the seventh month? The seventh month is Tishrei. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei. Tishrei is the seventh month. Which fast are we talking about in the seventh month? That would be Tzom Gedalia. So here, Tisha B'Av and Tzom Gedalia are mentioned, but Asara B'Teves and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz are not mentioned. They will be mentioned later, but they are not mentioned here. So that which you fasted and that which you eulogized in the fifth month and in the seventh month, v'zeh shivim shana, and all these 70 years, hatsom tzamtuni ani, were you fasting for me? Meaning, was it for my kavod that you were fasting? No. You were fasting because of your sins that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't for me. In other words, if you would stop fasting now, it doesn't detract from my kavod. You didn't have to fast from my kavod. You had to fast because of your averos. V'chisochlu v'chisishtu, and when you eat and when you drink, halo atema ochlim v'atema shosim, you're the ones eating, you're the ones drinking, which means that the fasting was on account of you, and the eating and drinking is on account of you. Meaning that the question is whether you should fast or not, that has to do with you. If you are in a place where you merit the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, then there is no need to eat or there's no need to fast. You can eat and drink. If you're in a position where you don't merit the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, well, then you need to fast. And so since you are in a position where you merit the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, you do not need to fast anymore. The fasting is not necessary at this point. Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Halo es hadvarim asher kara Hashem Biyad HaNeviim HaRishonim. Recall the words that Hashem had spoken in the hands of the original Neviim. Biyos Yushalayim Yosheves Ushaleva. When Yushalayim was settled and it was serene. V'areha Sviyoseha. And the cities all around Yushalayim were settled and serene. V'hanegev V'ashefela Yoshev. And the south and the plains, they were settled. Recall what happened at that time. Remember the various nevuos that were said during the first Beis HaMikdash that were telling everybody that everything is peaceful and quiet now, but if you do not do teshuvah, there will be destruction. Remember those nevuos. Remember that. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Zechariah lemar, the word of Hashem came to Zechariah saying, Ko amar Hashem tzvakos lemar, so says Hashem Tzvakos, Mishpat Emes Shefotu, judge, the true judgment, V'chesed V'rachamim, and kindness and mercy, Asu Ish Es Achiv, each man should do with his brother. This was what was said during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. These were some of the nevuos that were said. Zechariah is being told what had been said more than 70 years earlier, which would have staved off the destruction. V'alman aviyasom, ger v'ani al tashoku, and the widow and the orphan, and the convert and the poor person, do not oppress them. V'ra'as ish achiv al tachshivu bilvavchem, an evil one man to his brother, do not think in your hearts, don't plot against your brother. That's what I told them back then. Vayemoanu lakshiv, and they refused to listen. Vayitnu chasef sorores, and they put a shoulder of rebellion or of rejection that didn't listen to me, like, you know, turning your shoulder to what's being said. Vayaznehem ichbidu mishamoa, and their ears they made heavy from listening. They didn't want to hear the tochacha. They didn't want to hear the admonishment. The libam samu shamir. Listen to that analogy. And their hearts, they put like the shamir. The shamir, of course, is the worm that was used to cut the stones for the ephod, for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, because they weren't allowed to use any metal in cutting the stones, and they used this worm. The worm could cut through anything, and they put their hearts like the shamir. Mishamoa es haTorah ves haDvarim, from listening to the Torah and to the words, asher shalach Hashem Tzvokos Berucho, that Hashem Tzvokos sent in His Spirit, b'yana Neviim Arishonim, in the hands of the original Neviim. Vayi ketzef gadol meis Hashem Tzvokos, and there was a great anger from Hashem Tzvokos because they refused to listen. That's what happened back then. There was admonishment, there was warning, but they refused to listen. Vayi chasher kara v'lo shameu, and it was when there was calling out and they didn't listen, meaning I called out to them and they didn't listen. Kein yikru'u v'lo eshma, so they called out, or they will call out, and I wouldn't listen. That's what happened. That then afterwards, they would cry out when the oppressors came, and I didn't listen, because when I called out, they didn't listen. Amar Hashem Tzvokos, says Hashem Tzvokos, Mida keneged mida, measure for measure, I sent messengers, I sent prophets to call out to them that they should return to me, they should stop their evil ways. They didn't listen. So when the destruction came, and they were oppressed, and they were in pain and suffering, and they called out, I didn't listen. Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Ve'esa areim al kol hagoyim asher lo yada'um, and I scattered them throughout all the nations that they did not know. Ve'aretz nashama achareim, and the land was desolate after them. Me'over mishav, from anybody passing through, Eretz Yisrael was desolate. Vayasimu eretz chemda lishama, and they made the land of desire, meaning Eretz Yisrael, lishama, for destruction, that now the land was desolate and destroyed because of their ways. That's what happened then. And that's what brought about the fast days that you're asking about. Because of their behavior, that's why they now had to fast on Tisha B'Av, that's why they now had to fast on Tzom Gedalia and the other fast days, because of what happened. However, now, Vayhi Dvar Hashem Tzvokos Lemor Perek Ches Pasuk Aleph, chapter 8, verse 1, the word of Hashem Tzvokos said, Komar Hashem Tzvokos, so says Hashem Tzvokos, Kinesi Litzion Kina Gedola. I am, Kinesi literally means I am jealous on behalf of, it means I'm zealous on behalf of Tzion, a great Kina. V'chema Gedola Kinesi La, in a great anger, I am zealous for it, which means now I have reversed where I stand. Now I have great anger towards those who are oppressing Tzion. Now that you have done teshuva, now that you are returning, now I am in Tzion's corner, so to speak. And now I have great anger towards those who would oppress Tzion. Ko'amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Shavti al Tzion, I have returned to Tzion, v'shachanti besoch Yerushalayim, and I have dwelled within Yerushalayim. V'nikra Yerushalayim ir ha'emes, and Yerushalayim is called the city of truth. V'har Hashem Tzvokos har ha'kodesh, and the mountain of Hashem Tzvokos, the sanctified mountain. Ko'amar Hashem Tzvokos, so says Hashem Tzvokos, Od yeshvu zekeinim uzekeinos pirchobos Yerushalayim, that yet they will dwell, old men and old women, in the streets of Yerushalayim. That will happen again. V'ish mish anto biyado, and a man, his walking stick is in his hand, may rove yamim, from living so long. Elderly people who will need a walking stick, which was unheard of because of all the destruction. People didn't live that long. But now there are going to be elderly people in Yerushalayim, men and women, people who need to use walking sticks because of their advanced age. That's a bracha. That means that there's going to be old people roaming the streets of Yerushalayim again. And not only that, not just old people. Urechovos ha'ir yimalu yeladim v'yelados, and the streets of the city will become filled with young boys and young girls. Misachakim berchovos ha'a, who are playing in their streets. In its streets, the streets of Yerushalayim. This is what is going to happen now that I have come back to Tzion. One more pasuk, one more verse. Ko amar Hashem tzvako, so says Hashem, ki palei be'enei she'iris ha'mazeh, when this will be a pella, this will be a wonder in the eyes of the remnant of this nation, when you see the rebuilt Yerushalayim with the elderly people, with the young children, and it's going to be shocking to all of you. Wow, look at this, I never would have believed this could happen again. Bayame Mahim, in those days, gam be'enei palei, also in my eyes it will be amazing. Says Hashem. All of this is going to happen, and therefore you need not fast anymore on Tisha B'Av and the other fast days. Because I have turned things around now. The Jews have done Teshuvah, the Beis HaMikdash is in the process of being rebuilt. Yerushalayim will return to its days, its glory days, where there are old people, there are young people, and it will be amazing and shocking to you, and it will be amazing and shocking to me, says Hashem Tzvakos. There is more. The rest of the balance of Perek Ches of chapter 8 will deal with more of the brachos that we will find in Yerushalayim as things get better and better, which Mitzvah Hashem we're going to save for next week. But right now we're going to cover a few of the points that we have already mentioned tonight. Now, clearly this last pasuk needs explanation. What does it mean? It's going to be amazing in the eyes of Hashem. How could that be? Hashem obviously knows what's going to happen. Can't be shocking in the eyes of Hashem, for real. So, what does it mean? It'll be shocking in your eyes, it'll be shocking in my eyes. That is clearly a question. But before we get to that question, let us point out two important statements in the Gemara regarding some of these psukim. First of all, In Pasuk Dalet, in verse 4, chapter 8, Parakhes, Pasuk Dalet, chapter 8, verse 4, the Pasuk tells us that the elderly people will be in Yerushalayim, Ish Mish Anto Biyado, each man with his walking stick, that which he leans on. A Mishenes is something that you lean on in his hand because of advanced years. So, that word, mish'enes, is used in another context, that we know that when Elisha brought the child back to life, it says that he used his mish'enes, his walking stick, his leaning stick. He used that in bringing the child back to life. That's what it says in Sefer Malachim. So the Medrash says, the Gemara says, Gemara Maseches Pesachim says, that in the future, tzaddikim will bring people back to life. As it says here, Ish Mishanto Biyado, each man with his Mishenes, his leaning stick in his hand. And it says regarding Elisha bringing the child back to life, you shall place my leaning stick on the face of the child. When is that going to happen, or did it happen already? Clearly, this is not referring to the second Beis HaMikdash, that tzaddikim will bring people back to life. It didn't happen then. So even though this nevuah, this prophecy, is talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, however, it is also referring to the third Beis HaMikdash as well. And it is referring to the future, and in the future, the tzaddikim will actually bring people back to life, says the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, which is derived from this pasuk here. But more than that, there is a very famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos. It's famous because it's a wonderful story, but it also is the last Gemara in Maseches Makos, and when those who make a siyum on Maseches Makos, they read this piece. And that's that famous Gemara where Rabbi Akiva was walking with the other sages, and they came to the Har HaBayis. They came to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And they came to where the Beis HaMikdash used to stand. And they saw a shul, they saw a fox come out of the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, emerge from where the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Holy of Holies used to be. And they started to cry, the other sages cried, and Rabbi Akiva laughed. And they asked him, Akiva, why, Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? And they said, we're crying because the place that it says, Hazar HaKarev Yumas, that if anybody who isn't supposed to be there gets close, will die. Because of the sanctity of the Kodesh HaKadosh and all of Holies. And now Shualim Hilchuvo, and now faxes go there, and we shouldn't cry. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing. And the famous Gemara that says, Rabbi Akiva tells them, there are two nevuos. There are two prophecies, one from Uriah and one from Zechariah. And the Pasuk puts the two together. It says Uriah and Zechariah together. The two names are mentioned together. And Rabbi Akiva asks, it doesn't make sense to put those two names together. Uriah lived during the first Beis HaMikdash. Zechariah lived here in the second Beis HaMikdash. They didn't live at the same time. Why are they mentioned in the same Pasuk? And Rabbi Akiva tells us, because the Pasuk is telling us that Uriah had a nevuah, he had a prophecy, and Zechariah had a prophecy. And those two prophecies are linked together. Uriah's prophecy was that the Beis HaMikdash would be plowed over like a field, and it would be destroyed, and it would be desolate. And Zechariah had a nevuah, Zechariah had a prophecy. His prophecy was, it will come again a time when old people and young people will roam the streets of Yerushalayim in peace and in safety, and in Geula, in redemption. And the Navi is linking those two. And Rabbi Akiva said, until the prophecy of Uriah would come true, which is the negative one, then the prophecy of Zechariah cannot come true. But now that I see the prophecy of Uriah has come true, the fax comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which signifies complete desolation. There's no human beings there. The fax has nothing to worry about. Now I know that it is time that the prophecy of Zechariah can come true. It is now possible for the prophecy of Zechariah to come true. This prophecy we are reading now, says Rabbi Akiva, is possible. It can come true. It couldn't come true before, but now it can. And therefore I laugh. That's the end of Maseches Makos, and the famous ending of the Gemara there is the other sages say to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva nichamtonu, Akiva nichamtonu, Akiva, you have consoled us. Akiva, you have consoled us. That is the end of the Gemara Maseches Makos. This is the pasuk of Zechariah's nevuah. But note something important. Rabbi Akiva lived not quite, but nearly 2,000 years ago. And he laughed. He laughed because the prophecy of Uriah had come true, and now it's possible for the prophecy of Zechariah to come true. But it hasn't for 2,000 years, nearly. It has not come true. If Rabbi Akiva would be asked today, on the other side, where he is, do you regret laughing? Should you not have laughed? You were laughing because you thought the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt imminently. Clearly that's not the case. It's been almost 2,000 years. Would Rabbi Akiva now, had he known then what we know now, that it would be so long, would he weep rather than laugh? And the answer is no. His laughter was not based on the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. It was based on the possibility of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva laughed because now that Uriah's prophecy came true, says Rabbi Akiva, it is possible for Zechariah's prophecy to come true. When will it happen? I don't know when it's going to happen, says Rabbi Akiva. It could happen any time. It may not be a very long time. It may be very quickly. It depends on how the Jews behave. But it is now within our power to bring Mashiach. It is possible for the third Beis HaMikdash to be built. And therefore I laugh, because now we are in a different stage. Until now we were in a stage of necessary destruction. We had to sink to a lower point. But now that that has happened, says Rabbi Akiva, it can always turn around. Hashem can turn things around in a moment's notice. Does that mean there will not be any more pain, any more destruction, any more killings, any more suffering? Of course not. We were still in Gullus, even when Rabbi Akiva was laughing. We were still in exile, and there were plenty of much more pain and suffering that would happen to Rabbi Akiva himself. let alone to the rest of the Jewish people over the many years of Golos that we have endured. But it still is a new place. Now, the Geula Shlema, the final redemption, can happen, and that is a reason to laugh. That is a reason to rejoice that it can happen. So what does it mean over here in Pasuk Vav in verse 6? That just as in your eyes you will be amazed, I too will be amazed, says Hashem. The simple meaning is, that's referring to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's the second Beis HaMikdash or the third Beis HaMikdash. But as we pointed out, how could it be that Hashem is amazed? What would that mean? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah, on Nun Beis Amud Aleph 52a, the Gemara tells us the following. In the future, the third Beis HaMikdash, after Mashiach comes, at some point, there will be a terrible eulogy. We're going to talk about this when we get to it in Zechariah. It'll take us a few weeks till we get there, but in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, there will be a discussion about a eulogy. And this eulogy, there's a difference of opinion over what that eulogy is for. Whether it is for Mashiach ben Yosef, who will be killed, or whether it is for the Yetzer Hara, that will be killed. That's the discussion. So the Gemara tells us over here, that, and again, you may wonder, what does that mean, the Yetzer Hara being killed? What does it mean, Mashiach ben Yosef being killed? We're going to save that discussion. It's a fascinating discussion, but we're going to save that for when we get to it in the 12th chapter of Zechariah. However, for the time being, let's pick an excerpt from that Gemara. The Gemara tells us the following. That when the Yetzer Hara is killed, then Hashem is going to show it to the tzaddikim and to the rishayim, to the righteous people and to the evil people. To the tzaddikim, it is going to appear like a huge mountain, a gigantic mountain that they needed to climb, which they successfully did. That's why they're tzaddikim. To the rishayim, it's going to look like a little tiny hair that they could have easily stepped on or over, which they didn't, and that's why they are Rishayim. And both are going to cry. The Tzaddikim are going to cry, the Rishayim are going to cry. The Tzaddikim are going to cry because they're going to say, how did we possibly overcome this unbelievable mountain? How did we do it? And they're going to cry, remembering the struggle and the suffering and the toil that it took them to defeat the Yetzer Hara. The Rishayim are going to cry because they're going to say, look what we could have done. We could have so easily defeated the Yetzer Hara and we did not. Now that is a difficulty. Why would it be different for one than the other? Mirtz Hashem will discuss that also when we get to it in the 12th chapter of Zechariah. But the Gemara tells us that the Tzaddikim will be Tamhu. They will be amazed that they were able to scale that mountain. And the Gemara says, V'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tama Imahem, and Hashem will be amazed along with them. Shenemar, as the verse says, our Pasuk, Komar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzvakos Hashem Tzvakos, Ki Palei Be'enei She'iris HaMazeh, when it will be amazing in the eyes of the remnant of this nation, Bayom Imahem, in those days, also in my eyes, it will be amazing. Just as it will be amazing in their eyes that they defeated the Yetzer Hara, that they scaled that mountain, so it will be amazing to me. This is referring to the future after the third Beis HaMikdash is built, that Hashem says, you will be amazed at what you accomplished, and I will also be amazed. Now, what does that mean, Hashem will be amazed? Does that mean Hashem doesn't think we can do it? Does that mean that Hashem doesn't really have confidence in us? And when we actually are able to do it, then he's amazed that we actually managed it. That's hard to believe. Hashem created us with the express purpose to defeat the Yetzer Hara. As the Pasuk itself tells us, the Gemara also says this. The Gemara says, I have to find the right Pasuk, here it is. The Pasuk says in Mishle, Mefanek minor avdo, someone who pampers from his youth his slave, he pampers his slave from his youth, v'achariso yehemanon, in the end, that slave will be his ruler, will rule over him. But the Gemara, that means if a person pampers the slave will eventually gain the upper hand. That's the Pasuk in Mishlei. However, the Gemara tells us this is referring to the Yetzer Hara. Someone who pampers his Yetzer Hara, which means he gives in to the Yetzer Hara, does what the Yetzer Hara wants him to do, rather than resists the Yetzer Hara, rather than fight against the Yetzer Hara, then in the end, the Yetzer Hara will gain control. That's what it says. But listen to the language. Mefanek minor avdo, someone who pampers from his youth, his slave. His slave? Why is the Yetzer Hara referred to as his slave? Says Rashi. You know why it's called his slave? Yetzer Hara hu avdo shel adam. The Yetzer Hara is the slave of man. Shim ratza, because if you want to, harei hu masur biyado, it is given over to your hands. Shenemar, as the verse says in Bereishis, ve'ata timshol bo, you will rule over it. Everybody has a Yetzer Hara, and everybody was given the ability to enslave that Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is able to be our slave if we choose to rule over it. We can make it our slave. That's why it's called the Mishlei Avto. So if that's the case, then why is it that Hashem is amazed as we are amazed? Shouldn't it be that we're amazed that Hashem says, I knew you could do it? You know, we have a standard line that we have with our children. When they do something that is special, they do well academically, or they do something that's a good midah, whatever it is, something they do well, our standard line is, we are proud, but not surprised. Don't you think that that would be Hashem's reaction to us as well? We're shocked, but Hashem is shocked. Shouldn't he say, I'm proud of you, but I'm not surprised. I knew you could do it. So why is Hashem amazed? The struggle with the Yetzer Hara is a lifelong struggle, as we know. And we are put here to struggle. That's why we're here. And we fight, and we hopefully win. We can only do it with Hashem's help. A person does not have the capacity to defeat the Yetzer Hara on their own. They need Hashem's help in defeating the Yetzer Hara. The Pasuk tells us also in Tehillim, Sofe Rasha Latzadik Umevakesh Lahamiso. The Rasha, the Yetzer Hara, looks at the Tzadik and tries to kill him. Vilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'ozer Lo, if it wasn't for Hashem helping him, Eino Yachol Lo, he cannot defeat him. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Hashem lo yazvenu biyado, Hashem will not forsake him in the hands of the Yetzer Hara. Hashem will step in and help him defeat the Yetzer Hara. There is an element of this struggle which is beyond us, that is really too difficult for us, and we couldn't do it without Hashem's help. The Mesillas Yesharim writes in two places. In one place, the Mesillas Yesharim, the Path of the Just, from the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato, writes in one place that if we would only be misponing, if we would only think and reflect and take time to think about where we are in this world, we would naturally defeat our Yetzer Hara. In another place, he cites this Gemara, that we can't defeat the Yetzer Hara without Hashem's help. I once heard from Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, Zechona Lebracha, that he told me in the name of Rav Elia Lapian, Zechona Lebracha, the following explanation for those two statements. He explained there are two types of Yetzer Hara. There is the natural Yetzer Hara, and there is the unnatural Yetzer Hara. The natural Yetzer Hara are the things that we struggle with every day. The regular things that we all struggle with. Whether it's speaking Lashon Hara, whether it's trying to be speak nicely to people and not get angry, and whether it is to do chesed, whether it is to daven, all the things that we struggle with on a regular basis, the daily struggles that we go through, that's the Yetzer Hara Tiv'i, that's the regular Yetzer Hara. And that Yetzer Hara is within our capacity to defeat if we would only take time to think about it. If we would, all the time, we would stop and think, why am I here? Why was I created? What's the purpose of life? If we would constantly think about that thought, we would naturally defeat the Yetzer Hara. But Hashem put a different Yetzer Hara also in the world, and this Yetzer Hara is not Tiv'i, is not natural. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin that Rav Amram, who was a great tzaddik and also an elderly man, and there were some young women who had been taken captive, and they ransomed them. They got them out of captivity. Then those young women needed a place to sleep that night because they couldn't get them back home right away that night. So they took them to Rav Amram's house. They put them up in the attic where there was nobody else. And the ladder to the attic, which was a very, very heavy ladder, it seems like it was a staircase, which needed 10 men to lift it, they simply took it down. So that way there was no way that anybody could go up into that attic. And so the young ladies were up there by themselves. No one could get up there, except unless you'd have 10 men to lift that ladder. And Rav Amram was in the house downstairs. The Gemara says that Rav Amram, one of the young ladies, passed by the opening, and she had an incredible shine, a glow, a beauty, and he noticed that shine, and the Yetzer Hara grabbed him, and he lifted up the ladder, which normally takes 10 men to lift, and he put it up to the attic, and he began to ascend the ladder. He got halfway up the ladder, and he pushed his arms and his legs against the ladder to stop himself. And then he screamed, Nura be'Amram, Nura be'Amram, there's a fire in Amram's house, there's a fire in Amram's house. Fire, fire! He raised the alarm. And his students came running from all over. And they ran into the house, there was no fire. And they saw Rav Amram up on the ladder going up to the young ladies. And they said, Rebbe, we're embarrassed to see you this way. And Rav Amram said, it's good that you see me this way. I would have been embarrassed if you didn't see me this way. Had I done the Aveira, then it would have been embarrassing in the next world. But now, you have stopped me from the Aveira. And therefore, this is the way it should be. This is good. And then it says, he was mashbia. He made his Yetzer Hara take an oath. And his Yetzer Hara came out of him, and it appeared like a flame of fire. That's really what it means, Nura be'Amram, a fire in the house of Amram. It's referring to the Yetzer Hara, and it emerged from his body like a flame and departed. And Rav Elia Lapian, Zichron Lebracha, explained, that is the Yetzer Hara She'eno Tivi, that is the unnatural Yetzer Hara. That is the Yetzer Hara. Rav Amram was not beset by the regular Yetzer Hara that all of us are beset by. He was beyond that. The Pasuk says about David HaMelech, Libi Chalol Bekirbi, my heart is dead inside of me. David HaMelech had destroyed his regular Yetzer Hara. David HaMelech was not beset by the regular Yetzer Hara that all of us are beset by. But David HaMelech and Rav Amram also had this unnatural Yetzer Hara. And the regular one is the one that we can defeat on our own if we would only work at it, if we'd only think about it. But the unnatural one, that is impossible for a human being to defeat without Hashem's help. And so, we, the tzaddikim, are going to see this mountain they climbed. They're going to be amazed. How did I possibly do that? They're going to see things that they accomplished which a human being cannot accomplish. It is impossible for a human being to accomplish what they accomplished. That's what they're going to see, and they're going to be amazed, and they're going to cry over the incredible effort it took, and they're going to cry over that. And it's true. They could not have done it without Hashem's help. And Hashem is also going to be amazed. He's not amazed in the sense that he didn't know what was going to happen. Of course he knew what was going to happen. And he's not amazed that he is saying that, oh, you could never have been tzaddikim. What he's amazed about is that they did something which is superhuman. They deserved it. It was only with Hashem's help. But that help came because they needed it and they asked for it. Rav Amram defeated the Yetzirah not because Hashem just miraculously did it for him. It's because he figured out that he should embarrass himself in this world in order to defeat that Yetzirah. And he did embarrass himself. Embarrassing himself did not stop his Yetzirah for the young ladies. That's not what stopped it. Embarrassing himself put him in a situation where he could not carry it out. But that wasn't directly defeating the Yetzirah. That Yetzirah was impossible to defeat. But he managed to put himself in a position where he would be embarrassed, and because of that he merited that Hashem would step in and destroy that Yetzirah as well. And that is that what it means that Hashem is amazed. It is that Hashem says that you deserved that I should step in on your behalf. That is an amazing thing. And the reward that we will get for it is commensurately amazing. And that is what it means here in our pasuk when it says that Hashem is also amazed at the defeat of the Yetzer Hara. We, of course, have to work on our regular Yetzer Hara. That's what we are beset by all the time. That's what we need to deal with. And we have to understand that it is within our capacity to defeat it. Sometimes we feel, oh, this is so overwhelming. I've been doing this for so many years, so many times. Every Yom Kippur I try to do better and then I lapse back into it. It's beyond me. We have to know with certainty that's not true. It is not beyond us. It's difficult, but it is not beyond us. We can defeat the regular Yetzer Hara. Although it is hard to do, it's not easy, but it can be done. There is, though, a stronger Yetzirah, and for that, once one has defeated the regular Yetzirah, it takes effort, superhuman effort, to merit Hashem's intervention, that He will step in and help us defeat that greater Yetzirah, as is the example of Rav Amram in the Gemara. We stop here for any questions. Okay, Mirza Hashem, we will continue next week.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.